Friends, for the past several weeks, I've been sharing how you can enjoy personal peace. I've been sharing how we can build Bethel into a house of prayer. I've been sharing how you can triumph by tapping into the power of prayer and the power of patience. But I've also been sharing about how we can discover God's great purpose for our lives with a three-step plan. Prayer, care, and share. Holy is the author of the book, Are You Happy? And in that book, Holy says that according to expert opinions, only about 20% of Americans are happy. And yet we've all heard people say, oh, but she looks so happy. Oh, but that couple appears to be so happy. But many times we see happiness as only something that someone else has. We think, oh, he must be happy. He's got a great job. Man, she must be happy. Have you seen the house she lives in? They think, oh, man, he's got to be happy. Do you see what he drives? Man, they must be happy. Look at all they've got. She must be happy. Man, she's loaded. I'd be happy with half of her money. But I wonder, can we have a fair share of happiness in this life? I think absolutely. However, it may not be found where you're looking. One man said, I find happiness shooting basketball. I can't play full court anymore, but I love going and just playing horse or sometimes just sitting and watching. I love listening to the basketballs bouncing. I love watching the kids playing ball. And the longer I do it, the more it reminds me of simpler times in my life, and almost miraculously, my laughter and my joy returns. Friends, I know, and I bet you do too, know some people that always have to be on the move. They are constantly on the go. It seems like they have to be doing something all the time. They fill their days with endless activities trying to find some scrap of happiness. And I don't believe there's anything wrong with enjoying the good things that God has created. But if we focus merely on the material things in life, if we focus on just going and doing things all the time, life probably won't bring us much joy. You see, our lives, if our lives are centered on the gift rather than on the giver, we risk missing out on perhaps the greatest gift of all, Him. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, the Bible says in verse 17, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant and not to put their hope in uncertain riches, but to put their hope in the living God, who richly gives all things for us to enjoy. You see, God does provide a lot of good things for our enjoyment in this life. But as believers, our enjoyment should come primarily from knowing Him. Without Him, there would be no wealth. Without God, there would be no material gifts. There would be no jobs. There would be no hobbies. There'd be no sports. There'd be no enjoyment at all. I read in 1975, 50 years ago, that six armed gunmen broke into a bank in London and stole valuables valued at over $7 million, and they stole it all from the deposit boxes that were in the bank. One lady, whose jewelry was appraised at over $500,000, cried out loud, "Everything I had was in that box. My whole life was in that box." It sounds like to me that she valued the gift rather than the giver. But in this life, you can't be joyful all the time, can you? David points out the fact that we can have pleasure in God's presence always. In Psalm 16, David wrote a psalm of pleasure. In this psalm, it's on page 486 in the Bible, is in front of you if you want to get there with me. But in this psalm, David uses words like delight, words like rejoice, words like glad and joy. In Psalm 16, you won't read about any trials. In Psalm 16, you won't read about any tribulations. David simply identifies the pleasures in his life. And with that being said, I want to know what David's secret was. So in Psalm 16, page 486, I want to begin in verse 9 of Psalm 16, where the Bible says, "Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoices. My flesh will also rest in hope. For you will not leave my soul in Sheol." You won't leave my soul in the grave. "Nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the path of life, and in your presence is the fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." Now, verse 11 has some very strong significance for us here at Bethel, because you may remember in Acts 28, the apostle quoted Psalm 16, verse 11. And that was our focus verse for Vacation Bible School, that said, "You always show me the path that leads to life. You will fill me with joy when I am with you." Very important verse. And it's wonderful to me to read about all this delight. It's great to read about all this rejoicing and gladness and joyfulness. But as with all scripture, there's something we got to pay attention to in verse 9. It's the first word. The first word in verse 9 is therefore. And if you are a studier of the Bible, you must know that anytime you see the word therefore, you've got to backtrack a little bit and find out what it's there for. You've got to find out what verses 9 through 11 are there for. And so we're looking to find out, where did David find all this pleasure? Where did he find all this gladness and rejoicing and joyfulness? Well, to begin with, in verse 1 and 2, we find that David found pleasure in the Lord's person. Check it out in verse 1. "Preserve me, O God, for in you I put my trust. O my soul, you have said to the Lord, you are my Lord, and my goodness is nothing apart from you." I love the way that David basically said in verse 2, "The goodness that I enjoy in this life is nothing apart from you, God. It's nothing apart from you, God." How true that is for each and every one of us here today. All good gifts come to us from the Lord's hand. James even said so much in James 1:17. He said, every good and perfect gift comes from above. I got to tell you something this morning. If it's good in your life, it came from God. Somebody say amen. But what is it you consider good? Do you consider your house good? Do you consider your car good? Maybe not, right, sister? How about your clothes? Consider your clothes good, your material possessions? Better yet, do you consider your family good? Do you consider your circle of friends good? Do you consider your church good? They all come from the Lord. They all come from God's hand. And apart from God, there is no good thing. It all comes from God. Dr. Samuel Gordon tells the story of an elderly woman who is losing her memory. At one time, this woman had memorized large portions of the Bible. She could quote it in an instant. But as she grew older, her memory began to fade, and there was only one verse that she could recall. And the only verse that she could recall was 2 Timothy 1:12, where the Bible says, I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed to him until that day. But as time went on, she began to lose more and more of that verse. Often she would just quietly repeat, that which I have committed to him. That which I have committed to him. That which I have committed to him. And in her final hours, her loved one would look at her laying in bed, and they would see her lips moving. And they would bend down to see if she needed anything. And she was repeating over and over and over again the one word that she remembered. Him. 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 You see, she had lost the whole Bible. All of the Bible that she had memorized except one word. But yet, she had the whole Bible in that one word. Him. Him. You see, my friend, when we come to the end of life, all that matters is Him. Material things won't matter. Sports won't mean a thing. All that will matter is Him. We begin with Him, and we will end with Him. So friends, our ultimate pleasure as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ must always be in the person of the Lord Jesus. No matter what you have, no matter what you don't have, we must find pleasure in the person of God. But where else did David find pleasure in God's presence? Well, David also found pleasure in the Lord's people. Check it out in verse 3 for yourself. For as for the saints, the people of God who are on the earth, they are excellent ones in whom is all my delight. My, my, my. Y'all, if anything, our church should be in the people business. Are you hearing me, church? Our lives as believers on the Lord Jesus should revolve around people. Our service to God should revolve around people. People should mean more to us than anything else in life. Why? Because people meant more than anything to Jesus Christ. In Galatians chapter 6, the apostle writes, let us not grow weary while doing good for other people. Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we don't lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, but especially to the family of God, especially to the household of faith, especially to the family of believers. You see, it's no longer about us and them, is it? It's about we, the people. It's about we. Friends, the overriding emphasis of this book is about people. God in the lives of people. Thinking about people. Serving people. Loving people. Helping people. Leading people to Jesus. That led me to a story about Sophia Loren. Who remembers Sophia Loren, the actress? A few of you. Some of you old geezers, amen? I'm with you. Anyway, Sophia Loren once went to her director bawling her eyes out. She was crying because while she was filming, somebody broke into her trailer, stole all of her jewelry. And the director said this to Sophia Loren. Listen, Sophia, here's one great truth I've learned in life. Never cry over anything that can't cry for you. That's big, ain't it? Never cry for anything that can't cry over you. Why is that big? Because people are more important than material possessions. Jesus lived for people. Jesus died for people. He didn't live to preach or to teach. His preaching and his teaching were only important when it helped people. People. And listen, y'all, there are many people who are residents of nursing homes. And those people have no family left, or they have no family willing to spend any time with them. Can you imagine for a moment how lonely that must be? Can I just say that if God is speaking to you about ministry, would you consider people? Specifically, people in a nursing home would be an awesome place to start. People are God's most valuable creation. And we should value people just like Jesus valued people. And there's great pleasure found in blessing God's people. Can I tell you that if you go with the intent to go to a nursing home, with the intention of blessing some of those people, you will come out of there having been far more blessed yourself than you could have ever blessed them. If you'll just do it. Someone once said it this way. Those who bring sunshine into the lives of other people cannot keep it from themselves. That's big. Truer words have never been spoken. David found pleasure in the Lord's people. But he also found pleasure in the Lord's portion. Check it out, verse 5. O Lord, you are the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You maintain my lot. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Yes, I have a good inheritance. My, my, my. Y'all, when Janet and I lived in Athens, there was one thing that made me the happiest. And that was making 5 green lights in a row. The traffic in Athens is hideous. But that was our lot in life for that season. We just had to deal with it. So are you happy with your lot in life? When I compare Athens to, say, New York City, man, I ain't never been to New York City, and I ain't never going to New York City, but can you imagine the traffic in New York City? Brother Bill would be a mess there. Are you happy with where you are in life? While we should be content with what God has given us, often we're not. Let's just be honest. Often we're just not content. Many people are simply not satisfied with their lot in life. I read about an Amish man who was leaning on his fence and he was watching his neighbor move in. And his neighbor started moving in all his plush furniture and the appliances and the expensive gadgets, the costly wall hangings. It was kind of crazy. And then the Amish man said, called the fellow over to the fence. He said, "Neighbor, if you find that you're lacking anything, you just let me know and I'll show you how to live without it." Think of all that we can live without in our lives. But so often all we want is more. Somehow we must learn to take pleasure in the portion that God's given us. Sometimes he gives more. Sometimes he gives less. One translation of Hebrews 13:5 said it this way: "Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, for God has said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. All that other stuff, you might lose it, but I'll never leave you nor forsake you." David delighted in the Lord's person. He delighted in the Lord's people. He delighted in the portion that God had given him. But David also found pleasure in the Lord's principles. Check it out. Verse 7, "I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My heart also instructs me in the night season." How does the Lord give his people counsel? The Word of God, amen? He gives his counsel through the Word of God. We either hear the Word preached, we hear the Word taught, or we read the Word for ourselves. But the Word of God is what gives the believer counsel. The Word of God is what's to give us direction, the kind of direction that we need. Psalm 119:105, one of the old-time DBS verses says, "Your Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." I read when missionaries were in Japan, they were giving New Testament Bibles to all the Japanese soldiers. Finally, officials came up to them and said, "Y'all got to quit. Quit giving Bibles to our soldiers because it takes the fight out of them." This is a book designed to have peace in the life of the believer. And it's important that we remember that. I read about another man who went up to a guy in New Guinea. And the guy in New Guinea was reading his Bible. And the man sarcastically said, "That book is so out of date in my country." And the man from New Guinea said, "If it was out of date here, you would have been eaten a long time ago." You see, the Word of God is powerful. The Word of God penetrates hearts. The Word of God changes lives. Even cannibals. And this book, friend, has blessed us far more than you'll ever realize. It contains the mind of God. It contains the state of man. It contains the way of salvation, the cost of sin, and the pleasure for the believers. It also contains light to direct you. It contains food to sustain you and comfort to cheer you. But I read this on a marquee coming to church this morning. The Bible is like an umbrella. You don't open it, it don't work. Amen? How many believers don't find pleasure in the Lord's principles because they don't open the book? To experience pleasure in the Lord's presence, friend, you've got to delight in the principles of God. But David also found pleasure in the Lord's protection. Check it out in verse 8. "I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. Can you imagine what it would be like to shepherd a flock of sheep, say, in Africa? Man, you don't never know when an African lion might attack you or your flock, kill every one of you. But one thing we do know as believers is we know about a lion who tries to attack us all the time. We know what 1 Peter 5:8 says, that your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking to whom he may devour. Friend, you got an enemy and you need protection. And the Lord is the only one that provides you with that protection. We all need protection. We've all faced fearful situations that might have harmed us physically, might have harmed us spiritually, if it weren't for God's protection. I think we need to all be more thankful for God's protection. You know, even in times of my own foolish rebellion, I can reflect back on times when God protected me. Many times, I could have been killed. I could have been severely injured. Or worse yet, I could have killed somebody else or their family. But God protected me. He protected them from that. Too many times, I could have severely hurt somebody. I thank God for the protection that He afforded me. Even as a rebel, even as a prodigal son, still has a hand of protection upon me. And the older I get, the more I am aware of the protection God affords me. See, many times the Lord protects us from harm and we ain't even aware of it. But life changes. Our health changes. Relationships change, but God never changes. And Jesus is still the Savior who died for every sin that's ever been committed. And He rose from the grave to defeat death once and for all. Also, that many rebellious and wretched sinners just like me who would believe in Him would have this opportunity to have heaven as their eternal home. Heaven with God. What a wonderful shepherd we serve. Amen. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Or maybe we should say, the Lord is my shepherd, He's all I want. Amen. To experience the pleasure of the Lord's presence, we have to learn to delight in the person of God. Learn to delight in the people of God. Learn to delight in the portion He's given us. Learn to delight in His principles found in His Word. And delight in His protection. Today, I invite you to delight in His provision for salvation. Everyone here is given the same invitation. If you can bring yourself to acknowledge that you have a sin condition with only one remedy, then you are a candidate for heaven. That's good news. Because the Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And there are consequences to those sins. The wages of sin is death. But God, amen. But God provides a gift. The gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. You see, God loves you so much. He showed that love for you. And that while we were all still sinners, Christ Jesus died on that cross for all of us. All of us. Friend, do you know how much God hates sin? He despises it. He despises rebellion. He despises pride. He despises hate. He despises violence. He despises it when we mistreat people. He despises it.
Yet as much as God despises sin, he loves you more. His love is greater. His love for you is greater than his hate for sin.
But for by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. And if you will confess that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, listen to me, you will be saved.
Will you partake of God's provision of salvation today?
We pray that you'll consider it. Because we care for you. And we want you to share with us in the promise of heaven. And you can today if you'll come. Let me pray for you. Father in heaven, we rejoice that you loved us so much that your love even conquered our sin. And you provided for every single human being an opportunity to be reconciled with you through faith, believing in Jesus Christ, and partaking of the incredible life that you have in store for your servants. Lord, I thank you for the absolute pleasure of your presence. Lord, we feel you all around, not only when we come to church, but when we're home, when we're with our family, and even while we're working, and even when we're driving in Athens traffic. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for that pleasure that we enjoy because of him. Because of him. Because of him. Lord, if there's anyone here today that would love to partake of the provision that you offer for salvation, Lord, let them come forward. Just take a step of faith. I won't speak to them about my own knowledge. I'll speak to them about what's in the Word of God. And they can see for themselves that they too can partake of this provision you've given for every man, woman, and child. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said.
Amen. Amen. Let's all stand and let's sing.